Now, at just the age of 27 years and 20 days, Smith became the 10th oldest female Olympic champion in an individual event and South Africa's most successful double gold medalist. And with two golds as well as a silver, she now surpasses Penny Haynes and the tennis player Charles Winslow, who both won two golds and a bronze. This remarkable achievement in the pool is a proud moment for South Africa. And I think, yeah, wherever you are, you can still give a big round of applause, guys. And we are honored to have President Alan Fritz with us in studio to celebrate this massive milestone as far as the South African achievement is concerned. Alan, good to see you. Welcome. Congratulations.
Thank you, Rob. And it's good to be on your show. Thank you very much for the warm welcome. And yes, she did make South Africa very proud. And we, Swimming South Africa, are extremely proud at the performance that we've seen from all our athletes.
Yeah.
Our target has always been to get them into semifinals and into finals, and anything can happen in the finals. And we've seen all our athletes, except Matt Sage this morning, got into semifinals. And that's an awesome performance. And for me, the star of the show is, of course, Peter Kutsia, African record twice in one day. That was awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, African record twice. You finished fifth. What does that say about the level of competition that is out there internationally?
No. Competition, I always said, you remember when I was here last time, I said the world of swimming moves rapid. Not so long ago, Peter was number one in the world at our national championships in Port Elizabeth in April. And look, you know, competition is a psychological thing more than a physical thing at the at that level, at the Olympic level. But I'm very proud, fifth in the world. Coming from the southern tip of Africa, that's no mean feat.
And I think I was chatting to Gary Lamke yesterday, and one thing that he highlighted, and he said, you know what, whatever happens in the race, this was pre the race last night, he says, Rob, just remember one thing. It's a 20-year-old boy. He might be a giant, but he's 20 years old. He's still got a future that is his to chart. And I couldn't disagree with that at all. And I think it showed again yesterday in breaking it on two occasions, what he has. And for you, though, what does it say about Peter Kutsa, where he is, what his future looks like?
Yeah, if you look at, I may just want to step back. About 2 weeks ago, I was at the University of Pretoria where he trains, and I looked at the athletes that train under coach Rocco Meiring, and they all really looked good. And I was highly impressed with their conditioning and where they were. And I thought, although our doubts and our stress levels, I think our athletes will make our country proud. And I think I said that when I was here last time. And if you look at Peter, there's no doubt the next Olympics will definitely be his highlight. He's got a couple of milestones. We're going into short course championships in Budapest towards the end of the year. I'm sure he'll participate in some of the World Cup series events. And pretty much international championship, World Aquatics Championships next year. That give us a very, very good indication where it will be 2028 or Los Angeles.
When you talk about the facilities again, we touched on it yesterday, and I get to see it over and over again that his decision to not go to the Americas has paid off. Staying at home, making sure that he is at the high performance level training has obviously paid off. What do you attribute the improvement of all of these conditions, venues, and whatever they have at their disposal that they can use, which maybe was not there before but has improved now?
Yeah, one mustn't lose sight of culture. South African culture is very, very different to the European culture and also the American culture. Our culture is very much family-based. It does help. He's from Pretoria. He's more comfortable in that environment. But there's no doubt in my mind we have the level of coaches in this country that can compete with any coaches in the world. If you look at the likes of Rocco Meiring, Graeme Smith, Peter Williams, Dean Price, and so on, they are astute coaches and they know their technical craft. And I think that's a massive contribution that we have. If I can go back to our national championships, it was for me one of the best national championships, and really the talent, not at senior level, but the talent at junior level, under this level, it's what's going to make the difference in South African swimming over the next 10 years.
Sounds exciting. And please, guys, feel free. Do give us a call. I know how excited everybody has been. 011-883-8947. Any questions for Alan Fritz? He is the president of Swimming SA. As we reflect back on a night we will never forget last night.
Good evening, Rob, and good evening to the CEO of Swimming South Africa. What a nerve-wracking race. The last 50 meters were quite intense, but Tatiana came out victorious, clinching that first gold medal for South Africa and the first gold medal for Africa. And coincidentally, she did this on the very same day in which, in 2012, London Olympics, Cameron van der Berg won a gold medal in 100-meter breaststroke. And for me, Rob, this coincidence goes back to the point that I raised when you spoke to the CEO, that we need to find an equitable funding framework for sports, where sports like swimming can be afforded an opportunity to produce more swimmers from all diverse groups, so that we can then be able to be like other countries and dominate in this category. Because it seems like we've got coaches who are able to capacitate athletes in this country. We just need to leverage off that opportunity. Josanai, thank you so much, and wish Team SA all the best in the upcoming events.
Thank you very much indeed. Your response, Mr. President?
Tebs, I couldn't have articulated better. You've said it best. I would just maybe add to what Teboho is saying, is that at the facilities.
Yeah.
As you know, Robert, we're in our discussions with our partner, the Lotto. We are building our own facility down in the Western Cape. The one in Mbombela seems to coming to fruition. It's very, very good for us. We've got all the partners in Mbombela on board. Most certainly in Maritzburg, Mzunduzi municipality is really, really serious about aquatic sport, and we've had very, very good discussions. We're looking at Etequini and looking at a model to take Kings Park. It is our best facility. Dr. Mike Sutcliffe is back in the chairs and administrator, so to speak, and we are hoping to engage with him on the facility in Durban. But most certainly down at the University of Nelson Mandela is a one that we want to have. So over the next 5 years, 5 high performance, 20 academies rolled out at school, that's where Swimming South Africa is going to.
I'm glad Mzunduzi is coming on board, because they have arguably what nature has given them in terms of aquatics. Aquatics of any nature. I remember the great Oscar Chalupski, canoeing, and what he's done for canoeing over the years. And you look at what happens in the Midlands. They is Upper Pietermaritzburg onwards, some of the greatest facilities that I also just think are underutilized, or maybe they've used the money wrongly. And I think we all know what municipalities have been guilty of doing in this country here. But if they are giving you a firm commitment to try and change that and be on board to try and improve us, so that we can get all of these, maybe even undiscovered swimmers or any person participating in the aquatics from those regions, we could be a better nation. In fact, we would be upping all of the medal, whether it's gold, silver, or bronze. How exciting and how serious are they?
Yeah, I think they are very serious. If you are 100% right, the Greater Maritzburg area is an aquatic world, whether it's the Chalupski brothers on the river, or whether it's the Midmar Open water swim, or whether it's producing world-class swimming pool swimmers from Maritzburg, they have a culture of aquatics, yes, and water sport. And I am convinced that we had meeting in Joburg with them. They were so serious, they came to Joburg. And we had the meetings down in, virtual meeting down in with them in Maritzburg. I am more excited than what they are, because the plans that they presented and where they want to go with aquatic sport is exactly what you're saying, where Maritzburg and the greater Midlands should be.
Because a lot of the stuff, even with the triathlon, no better place than the Midlands. I mean, I'll talk about the current state of the water, unfortunately, in Paris right now, and what they've been saying. I think they've cancelled or postponed on 2 or 3 now. Today would have been the third day of all the activities, and what this has a bearing on and what it means as well for the Olympic Games.
Good evening, Mr. Rob. It's Wulfilang here, and greetings to the MSW show. This, as I said yesterday, I was hoping for a gold medal, and Tatjana Smith answered not only my prayer, but all of South Africa. Did she have us on the edge of our seats or what? What an absolute gallant performance from Tatjana Smith. Congratulations. Yeah, I was literally recollecting my thoughts for a couple of seconds. But wow, man, congratulations to Tatjana Smith. Welcome back to the Blitzbocker. But tonight, it is mostly about Tatjana Smith. She has made us proud. Yet another Olympic triumph, yet another Olympic gold medal. We are happy as a country. We are happy as a country. We are happy as a people. And congratulations, man. I don't know how many times I'll say it, but congratulations. You've made us proud. And onwards and upwards from here, madam. Great show as always. Thanks.
Wulfilang, thank you very much indeed. Let's talk about that for a second. How massive is this gold medal?
Rob, I think he said it. Listener said it all. It is huge. It creates a level of excitement. South Africa is a sport made nation.
Yeah.
South Africa is not kind on poor performance, and you know that.
Yeah.
You many a times you've openly criticized teams that are performing badly. And we in South Africa should redesign our sports policies and our act around sport and the building of facilities, and the national department should really have a hard think where we're going with sport in this country. Right now, there's too much of fragmentation in terms of a national strategy. If you compare us with Australia, Canada, and the likes, the UK, let's leave America for now, but some of the European countries, we are fragmented in our approach to high-performance sport. We've got to have better coordination from a national level, and that's where we're breaking down. Federations can't just design things on their own. We in swimming are very clear where we're going in terms of building facilities. And at these facilities, we have in our mind a vision that we can house 6 to 7 Olympic codes that can train at these facilities, given the best scientific support. But we require a thinking and a think tank at national level that would drive the policy in terms of sport performance different.
If the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture was sitting right here now in front of you, what would you demand from him as Swimming South Africa?
Yeah, there's maybe two things that I'll engage the minister on. One is that we need a national sports academy for high performance, or a policy or a structure that will drive and measure consistent performance at high performance level. We don't have that today in our country. We measure things like transformation, which is good because we've got to transform society, but we don't measure sports performance in a systematic way. The other thing is the funding model of sports has to change. We can't have a blanket approach to funding. You fund the sports that can deliver the goods. South Africa demands delivering the goods. Imagine we tell rugby that go and participate at the World Cup. There's no such. South Africa says bring back the trophy. And that is what elite sport is about.
You know, that is why they bring in, you know, people like Rassie Erasmus, or Dr. Rassie Erasmus as he is now, and him earning even that doctorate is from exactly that. High performance, demanding the best. You play against Ireland in Pretoria, you win. You play against Ireland in Durban, you lose. You go to play Portugal in Bloom, you win. But you're winning now with what he would consider, regardless of what everybody says, but that would be the next generation.
Correct.
That would be the next pool of players that would go and claim and lay claim in the next 4 years to our next Rugby World Cup. And that is how systems work. And that is how they always keep the competitive nature going. That is how, you know, Curry Cup is so important. That is what, the Craven Week is so important, regardless of how I still hate that name, but it is what it is. It's a system that's been in place and will forever be in place and will forever churn out the kind of athletes that become top rugby players. So from your side, and have you had a conversation, by the way, with the minister at all?
No, we haven't had the opportunity. We are hoping to engage the minister when he's back from Paris.
He is back, actually.
Oh, yeah. In fact, we have a golf day tomorrow on Thursday, and we have invited the minister. Maybe it's an opportunity to engage him.
Yeah.
But we want to have a serious discussion with our minister. He is bringing the energy, and we must utilize that.
Yeah.
So that the minister understands what elite sport is about and where high performance fits into the management and systematic approach to elite sport. And you've mentioned the example of rugby. And I think Rassie is most probably beyond the coming World Cup. He's already at the next level. Okay, and that's where we we have to manage sport in this country. There is personally for me, Alan Fritz, there is a no success in having a shotgun approach and hoping that we will bring medals. It has to be systemized.
Yeah, and I think the conversations you've been having with the National Lotteries Board is an important one. I felt sorry when I was watching the hockey, and we would do so well against Argentina. But then again, it just showed right towards the end.
Correct.
So then the scoreline starts to show us looking like, you know, they clubbed us. Yeah, yeah, which indeed they did. But had we been in a professional setup and had they been funding put in to make sure that all of those athletes do become professional, do focus more on that very short period of time that they are professionals, we would be talking a completely different language.
Absolutely. Let's be fair. I mean, the Team South Africa at Paris today is an exceptional good team.
Yeah.
We must drive the element of high performance right into those federations. Hockey, athletics, and so on, they have the potential to medal. Okay? Boxing, judo, and the likes have traditionally medaled.
Yes.
Why are we not investing in those sports? So the discussion with the minister and the team at the ministry, and of course the National Sports Olympic Committee, it's important to pool resources together and say, this is the way we're going. And everybody understand this is the way we're going.
Okay, Kai, I'm going to come to you in Katlong straight after this.
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW. Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide.
Okay, I checked out on X, being somebody that follows Penny Haynes, our Olympic hero.
Just 9 months from Penny Haynes holds on for her second gold medal.
And she was just talking about, she says, can't wait to see Tatiana Smith as well as Peter Kutzer swim. He says, if the semifinals from last night are anything to go by, we are in for something really, really special. So if you get that from Penny Haynes, you best believe that.
Tatiana Smith cuts through the clutter and makes the world take notice, and in the process, earning a gold in the 100 breasts.
Hashtag MSW.
Hashtag MSW.
Right, we'll share some of those comments that were made by Penny Haynes, which I thought were really, really beautiful. Well, she kind of hinted, she said she's been waiting 28 years for somebody to do this. And finally, she was there to witness it and being part of a panel. You know, so no better front row seat outside of being in Paris than watching, I won't say her record tumble, because it's a case of just measuring who had more golds or more silvers compared to the bronze. And let me go to Katlehong. Kaya is there. Good evening, Kaya.
Good evening, Prarob, and good evening to President Fritz. Prarob, I just wanted to find out regarding Operation Excellence. I remember a few years ago there used to be an OPEX program run by SASCOC, and a few of our swimmers benefited from that. Just wanted to know, and excuse my ignorance, but from the president, is Operation Excellence still ongoing? If not, would you like to see it resuscitated? And how helpful would it be for our swimming, our swimmers going forward? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kaya. Thank you very much indeed. I'll ask you to listen on the radio. OPEX, a lot was said. Is it happening?
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Kaya. OPEX exists today. OPEX has a very important role to play. But I would certainly like to see enhancements in an operational excellence environment into what I said earlier on, the role of a national academy in managing and measuring performance at elite level, in investing in the athletes that will truly has the potential to bring back the returns of the investment. And I would most certainly would like to see that in enhancing the policy of OPEX. It is very clear that OPEX needs a lot of money. The key for us, we are at the southern tip of Africa, so traveling to Europe, traveling to America for competitions is hugely expensive. Our strategy's got to have a balance in ensuring that we have the facilities to bring the Europeans, the Eastern countries, the Far East, and America into South Africa for competitions. It will raise the level of competitions in South Africa. Rugby taught us that. Rugby, we had the Australasian countries coming here, we had the European countries here, and it raised the level. I mean, when South Africa pulled out of the of the rugby in between ourselves, Australia and New Zealand, you could see rugby, the standard went down, and they openly admitted there's nothing that makes you more competitive than competition.
At the highest level.
At the most highest level. Okay. And operation excellence must deal with that. Another aspect of it is we got to bring science to the athlete. We mustn't take the athlete to science. It serves no purpose in making a guinea pig out of the athlete. The coach should always have access to resources like scientific support, strength and conditioning, and everything around the athlete, and not take the athlete to these services, because it's the coach's technical ability that will make the athlete perform.
I remember Akane Sambini came into the studio, and forgive my voice, I think I was shouting too much last night with the swimming that was happening. But one thing Akane mentioned was that, yes, OPEX, there have been stages where it has come in, kicked in, helped him. And I think, being the gentleman that he is, I don't want to criticize anything, but I also got a sense that it could be better, especially for elite athletes like himself that we now hinge on, and we wait and we say, yo, we can't wait until Akane takes to the track, because he is one of our medal hopes at the Olympic Games. But if you have that operation excellence, then let those excellent athletes benefit to its maximum. Correct. As opposed to letting the athletes themselves dig deep into their pockets to go and find training elsewhere, which then we use to celebrate and say, ah, look at our champion, when we have not delivered anything to support them.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right, because we can't spread the little resources that we have too thin.
Yeah.
Invest where the return is going to come from. And using the example of Akane Sambini, it's important that he has, no doubt, he is one of our best. Let's make sure that he has everything to get to the podium. And we wish him the best at this Olympic Games, because he certainly has potential.
I always say that the only thing he needs to worry about is whether he's breathing enough oxygen.
Correct.
You know, more than that, it should be everybody else's problem to take care of a sponsorship, take care of the dietary needs that an athlete like that has to have, you know, apparel, all of those things. They can't be his problem. We've got to make that somebody else's problem. Honest. Now, one thing that caught my attention, Tatiana says that she won't be part of the next Olympic Games, the LA Games in 2028.
She said that in after Tokyo. You never know. If you take the example of Chad Leclerc,
yeah.
Chad said to me clearly when we were in Doha, Ellen, I'm going beyond. I'm going beyond LA. Yeah, she's 27 years of age and she's done exceptionally well. But if you look at her potential to achieve at 2028, it's most certainly there. Maybe just maybe a coach will talk her out of that, because she still has the ability to deliver it at LA. I'm absolutely convinced about it.
I thought you'd got to be the one to try and convince her.
Yeah, I will certainly play my part in convincing athletes. You know, an event like Paris or Olympics takes a lot out of an athlete spiritually or mentally and physically. For them to recover after the games would be the right thing. Let's just let them relax a bit and then engage in terms of the future. Because the future has to surround the athlete, as you say, with everything to create an environment conducive for the athlete to perform. I certainly would like to see Tatiana in 2028.
I think we all would. I really think we all would. Now, let's say she sticks to her guns and she does retire and LA is not going to be a possibility for her. As Swimming SA, would you want her to play a certain role within Swimming South Africa of any kind? I mean, I don't know if there are any roles that any of the athletes, when they do retire, but for you, as a forward-thinking person, somebody that understands what she has, which is a very rare talent, would you want to see her involved in any other capacity?
Yes, most certainly, without a hesitation, Robert, I would most certainly like to see her in a role in Swimming South Africa. And there's Chad, also I'd like to see in a role, and a lot of them. Matthew Sates and them are still young, and Peter and them. But I'd really like to see all of those athletes retained in the system. Chad is most probably one of the best PR people that I've seen. And the sport is about providing for the next generation. If I've achieved and I'm done, make sure that others understand that are coming after me. And I think Chad plays that role very, very well in this team. And I've got no doubt, Tatiana, and there's a discussion after this Olympics, is what is it that you want to do? Because there is certainly place for you in Swimming South Africa to play a role.
But you talk about Chad, he's 32, now it's his fourth Olympic Games. He has somebody who is no stranger to winning. I mean, he's won three silvers, he's won a gold before. He's beaten the great Michael Phelps as well. So there's a lot that can be celebrated around him. What are the chances this time around for him?
Yeah, I'd most certainly like to have that discussion with him when he's back. I know for sure he would still like to continue. But I would really, really like to see that we start roping him into a role into Swimming South Africa. We are building these high-performance centres. He can certainly, not only from an advisor role, but from a technical role, he's been there, he's done it, Rob. He's most probably one of our best athletes that we've ever produced in this country. Whether it's at the Olympic level, or whether it's at the federation level, whether it's at a technical level, there is a role for him to play. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Oh, I love that. Let me go back to Penny Haynes. I mean, she was our darling back in 1996, won the double gold. And she was saying that Tatiana is South Africa's greatest Olympian now, ever, full stop. Because we've got to bear in mind, though, that with the two golds and the one silver, Penny Haynes had two golds and one bronze.
Yes.
So she effectively now becomes what Penny Haynes describes as the best Olympian in South Africa. Would you agree with that?
I certainly would agree with that, but I would not rule Chad out. Chad is, if you look at 2012,
yeah,
was certainly, for me, the best Olympics that in terms of our performance. I'm talking about Team South Africa, and swimming played a huge part in that performance of Team South Africa. And I'm a marketing man, so beating the market leader was for me absolutely the best thing. And I would not rule Chad out as one of the most coveted athletes that this country has produced.
But in terms of Olympians, because that we could only measure by how many golds versus how many silver versus how many bronze you earn. And right now, Tatiana Smith is above. And also bearing in mind, and this is the scary part, and this is very rare that it happens, that she could still, in the 200-meter breaststroke, which is happening when on Thursday is the finals, if I'm not mistaken. So she could achieve that very rare double. Still.
Well, the 200 breast is, which is the 30th today, the 31st is the 200 breast. Kaylin and Tatiana swimming the 200 breast. I've got no doubt in my mind that she will medal. I'm not sure which one, but she will medal. And that will most certainly take a notch up in being the most coveted athlete in our country in terms of Olympic performance.
Well, if we had to wait 28 years, as Penny Haynes says, it shows how difficult it is. It really does show that. And I think for us to be where we are now, kudos, man.
Good evening, Tarot, and good evening to Mr. Alan Fitz. Firstly, I'd like to congratulate Tatiana Smith, as well as Swimming SA Federation for the gold medal. It was a super performance from her. In fact, she's been a champion and she's been excelling at this boarding code, Tarot, so it was expected. Tarot, a quick question for Mr. Fritz. I'd like to find out from him, what are they doing as a federation, as a Swimming SA Federation, to ensure that the appetite, the hunger, the desire is there for the swimmers to excel in this sporting code, the rope, and also to make sure that the bar that they've set over the years is maintained. It doesn't drop below any average standards. Because, the rope, our swimmers have been representing our country excellently. And also, what are they doing to ensure that the sport which is swimming is inclusive for all? Thanks, the rope, Bongani.
Bongani, thank you so much. Great questions, Alan.
That's really a good question, Bongani. I think Bongani nailed it.
Yes.
It's about standard. And for me, very simple, it's about raising the bar. He is 100% right. We cannot drop the bar.
Yeah.
Let's look at what's the enablers for raising the bar, Bongs. Most certainly, facilities will raise the bar. Most certainly, coaching skills will raise the bar. Mm-hmm. Most certainly, funding into the sport will raise the bar. Most certainly, the best administration will raise the bar. And we have to bring all these factors together, be it with government policy, be it with the administration of the federation, and looking after the athletes. Robert articulates it best, Bongs. He says, listen, let the athlete worry about sucking oxygen and nothing else. And that's where we have to be.
On the golf course, you suck a lot of oxygen, sir. What's going to be happening on Thursday?
Yeah, Rob, I am vice chairman. Our chairman is Greg Fredericks. We hail from the Eastern Cape, East London. And we were very concerned that sport is just dying a natural death down there. There's no more school sports. So we established an organization called the Border Icons for Sport, focusing on sports development. Our objective is to reintroduce sport at grassroots level, reintroduce school sport, and hand it over to the federation, because the federation is responsible for sport. And we have successfully, earlier this year, had a junior soccer tournament sponsored by a local Joburg company, TRA. And it was just fantastic to see the talent. And about 2 months from now, we're going to do that with rugby, under 19 rugby. And we have a number of these events, but these events need money.
Yeah.
And one way of raising money for us, Eastern Cape is economically depressed area of our country, is to have a golf day up in Joburg and raise funds to implement all these programs that we want to implement. So on Thursday, we have a celebrity golf challenge, as also funded by TRA. And we have a number of other sponsors that came on board. And we really look forward to raising a lot of money for all these events that we want to run down in the Eastern Cape. We have run coaching courses, we've run administration courses. You know, all these takes quite resources. And we want to ask corporates to partner with us. There's a lot of celebrities, guys like our cricket team players participated, Teresa Hendricks and the likes. We'll have Alan Donald there. That's why nice. I would like you to be there, Robert.
To be a caddy, yes, of course, I'll be
We have magnificent leadership in Greg Fredericks. He's been around the block. Yeah. He's been in the national department. I personally know him for years, being an educator of mine, and everything I know about sport came from him.
So where should they reach out to? We are out of time.
We should reach out to any of us on social media or on the TRA website. You'll find us there.
All right, so Thursday it is. How many medals are we going to come back with? So quickly.
We're hoping that we can come back with two, Robert, but there's potential for three.
Hashtag MSW, live now on 947, Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.